Yeah, that video asks a good question. You think about, like, why do we go to church? Why do we even have church? How come someone doesn't go to church? And if you grab your notes at the very top, there's a biblical explanation I want to read to you. The same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. So there it is. It is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. So someone says, well, why don't you go to church? Which raises the bigger question, why do we even have church? And what this part of the Bible is saying is to spread good news. And I wonder if this week we did a survey, if you went to the people you work with or your friends or family or I did, and we conducted a survey and we asked this question, does the church spread good news, true or false? Hopefully we would hear more people say true than false. At East Lake Church, we're laser focused on wanting to spread the good news. We started this network of churches now, which is thousands of people, on one simple idea: God loves us. It doesn't get any better than that. And because of that, he cares about us. And because he cares about us, he's willing to help us make changes in our lives that we can't make by ourselves. It's way too difficult without him. Now, a couple of years, we're in a halfway point in a couple of year commitment that we made called Cannonball. This time last year, we started the series of talks called Cannonball. And here was the big question: if I were to be all in with Jesus, what would my life look like? If I looked like a cannonball going through the sky, every nook and cranny of my life, every compartment, every part of my heart was completely committed to making God a priority, Jesus a priority, what would my life look like? How would it impact the world around me? We have a video today that we're showing in all of our churches, the network of churches that we're in. We're starting the second half of Cannonball in a series called Ripple Effect. And so sit back, relax. We're going to watch a video first before we get into the second part of the talk. It's a little over 10 minutes, and it's good news. It talks about what's happening so far at East Lake Church and how the good news is going out. So relax and check this out.
In February 2017, our Eastlake Church network embarked on a two-year journey of courageous faith and generosity. This two-year spiritual journey is motivated by our desire to jump all into Jesus' mission and the mission of our church. We want to be faithful to Jesus with our life in this moment of history, playing our unique part in this great kingdom of God story. And so with that in mind, we presented a really big vision for the next 2 years of ministry in our lives and in the life of our church. We called this season of ministry Cannonball and asked each of you to jump all in and make waves with us. And for 5 weeks, we gathered to worship collectively, we met in growth groups, we heard clear vision for the future, and we were challenged weekly through God's word. We then, as individuals and families, boldly asked God to give us a vision of what it would look like if each of us did a cannonball with our lives to deepen our walk with Jesus for the sake of others and his kingdom. And I gotta tell you, the result was nothing short of amazing. We witnessed hundreds of people across all of our churches who were maybe previously just testing the waters or dipping their toe in the waters of church or Jesus. We watched them do cannonballs in their faith stories. Hundreds of people began following Jesus for the first time, and hundreds more moved from the bleachers of church, maybe just attending a service, to getting on the playing field and even getting in the game of Jesus' mission. We also saw a stunning demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit at work in each of us in the area of radical generosity. Our network of churches collectively committed to giving almost $27 million over a two-year period. This remarkable outpouring of generosity is already creating ripple effects in our local communities and with our partners around the world. This has been an awe-inspiring journey so far, and we have witnessed what God has done both in our lives and through our collective generosity in these past 12 months. And we are excited to see how much more God will do this next year as we continue to jump all in and make these Kingdom of God waves together.
The church has been a way for me to reconnect with my faith. I was away for a long time, and it wasn't a big part of my life. And coming back to it, it gave me a new foundation to kind of get through the things that were coming for us.
Through this two-year initiative that we have, I'm excited to see changes in people's lives and see their growth as well, because in that growth is freedom.
When you can see the beauty of where it goes, and you're watching videos and you see that you're helping people around the world, it excites you. It's like, we're doing a great thing around here.
Since that defining moment in February of 2017, our journey together as a church community has been amazing. We celebrated record levels of giving and generosity in the previous year and during our Christmas offering in the month of December. That generosity is creating ripple effects in the lives of so many people outside the walls of our churches. Globally, our radical generosity has allowed us to care for more orphans at Bright Hope School in Uganda, train new church leaders in the Dominican who are planting new churches, serve more women coming out of human trafficking, and so much more. Regionally, we've been a part of launching new churches as well. In the first part of 2017, we helped launch Risen Church in Scripps Ranch, and at the end of the past year, we launched our newest East Lake Network Church at Paradise Village Retirement Community in National City. We've also had four pastors join our residency program to be equipped, trained, and eventually sent out, starting new churches to reach new people. Locally, in our own churches, the mission is moving forward as well. We celebrated hundreds of people coming to faith in Jesus this year. We baptized more than 500 people in water in 2017. And collectively, thousands are connected in growth groups, serving in ministries, and actively blessing our neighbors, communities, and cities. God's Spirit has been moving in our hearts and in our church, and we give Him all the glory for what has been done. Everything we've accomplished is by Him, through Him, for Him. All these achievements come out of the four Kingdom of God waves we outlined in Cannonball: our wave of mission, wave of compassion, wave of multiplication, and wave of engagement are moving forward. And this February serves as a halfway point in our two-year spiritual journey together. And we believe that God has so much more in store for each of us, individually, as families, and as a movement of churches during this second year. Now, as many of you know, in many sports like basketball, which is God's favorite, by the way, they have a halftime. It's an opportunity at the midway point of the game to evaluate the first half, encourage your teammates, for the coaches to make any needed adjustments, and then go back out there on the court and finish the game strong. And that is what we are doing now. This is our halftime. This is our moment to look back, to encourage one another, and then to choose that we are going to finish strong.
You're contributing to something that's a lot bigger than you. Like, you're contributing to the mission of Jesus. And that's why I was like, I have to commit. Like, this is something that Jesus is calling me to do. This is something that it's in the Bible. I can't just make excuses for myself and feel sorry for me when it's the right thing to do.
So we made our Cannonball commitment. It wasn't a hard commitment. It wasn't a hard choice. We feel like we have gotten so much over the years from our Eastlake family that we were happy to give back.
Cannonball is not just about your money. It's so much more than that. And God wants our hearts. We're all far from perfect, and we're all at different places, and I fail more often than not, but I keep going, and it's just an amazing journey that requires all of you.
We have already been praying boldly about what God wants for us in this second half of Cannonball. God has been leading us, using us, and challenging us this first year. But just like with Abraham, God has not blessed us so it can just stay with us. He blesses us so we can share that blessing with other people, taking God's love and life out into our world. And so for this reason, we are starting a new sermon series at this halfway point called Ripple Effect. You see, a ripple effect reflects on the very nature of affecting change. Think of a single stone tossed into a body of water, and it causes a ripple effect with an almost never-ending forward motion. And this is what God has been doing through us during this cannonball journey. And it's what God has been doing through His church for more than 2,000 years. Our theme verse for ripple effect is Colossians 1, verse 6. This same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. You see, a ripple effect is how the gospel, that simply means the good news story of Jesus, has circled our globe, touching every nation and culture, and it's how the gospel has come to us today. And now we want this same good news story of Jesus to ripple from our lives to our friends and our neighbors and our classmates, our coworkers, and the communities that we live in. We want to take our place and play our part in this Jesus story of transformation as a ripple effect goes out from our lives. So at this halftime moment, we are inviting you to join us in prayer and in faith as we continue to ask God to lead us into a fully surrendered life, willingly involving and investing ourselves in His kingdom mission. So here's what we're going to do. Over the next 5 weeks, during this Ripple Effect series, we're going to celebrate what God has done. We're going to be inspired about what is still ahead of us that we have to accomplish. And we're going to listen to the Holy Spirit as we examine our own lives.
Our primary goal for Cannonball has always been 100% engagement. We want everyone at all of our churches to participate at really whatever level God leads you to do. So throughout this new series, we want to be encouraging you to consider one of three action steps. First, there are some of us who are new to the Eastlake Church Network, and you have little or maybe no idea what this Cannonball Generosity Initiative is about. You joined your church family sometime after last February, and you've heard us talk about Cannonball and share some family wins, yet you probably have some questions and even wonder how you can become a part of this journey. This new series will clearly share our vision, tell stories of faith, and clearly show you ways to jump in and make waves with the rest of us. It is our prayer that you will join the vast majority of us who made a 2-year Cannonball commitment and make a 12-month commitment of your own. We are confident that in doing so, your faith will grow and you will experience the joy that comes from boldly trusting Him with our finances.
Secondly, there are others of us that made a Cannonball commitment a year ago, many of us, and since that time, maybe have fallen on difficult times. You've had some unexpected things happen in your family or in your finances, or even something happen that has kind of shaken your faith. And maybe you find yourself wavering in what to do. And I would encourage you to show the same faith now that you did when you initially made that Cannonball commitment. I want you to know that God is with you. God knows what you've gone through, and He is still writing your story. He's not done with you yet, and He's inviting you to trust and have faith that He's able to work all things together for your good, that He didn't cause those things, but He can work good out of those things. And so I want to encourage you today, keep putting God first and trust Him with the rest. For you, the next 5 weeks of Ripple Effect are all about God's sustaining faith and asking Him to help you finish strong. So do not give up. God is not done. And then third, I know there's still others of us who made a Cannonball commitment, who may have had an increase in their faith or an increase in their finances during this past year. And it's not that making your Cannonball commitment or even keeping it might have been easy, but you are sensing that God may be stretching you to take another bold step for Him. And if He's calling you to do that, I want to invite you to do it. My wife, Rebecca, and I are already praying about this. And as we find ourselves in this halftime moment, we've already started asking what God would want us to do in this last 12 months of Cannonball. A year ago, we made the biggest generosity commitment that we had ever made in our 20 years of marriage. This past year hasn't been easy to fulfill that, but I will say God has been faithful, and we have. And as we look at this next 12 months, we feel like God is stirring something in us and leading us to even greater levels of sacrifice and generosity. And so what we're doing as a family is praying about increasing our commitment for these last 12 months. And I want to invite many of you to join my wife and I in that kind of prayer, asking God to stretch your faith and invite Him to call you to even greater places of sacrifice and surrender for His mission.
And we're excited to be stretched again. We're excited to see people take that step for the first time like we did. If you're on the fence of whether to jump in for Cannonball, I think one of the things I would just say is just do it. See what happens. Test God. See what He says about His finances, if it's true. And you're going to find out, much like we did, what happens.
I think Eastlake is an amazing investment of my time and resources because, A, it helped me get through the worst time of my life. Without it, I don't know what our life would look like. But it's invested in me, it's invested in my kids, and I've seen lives changed.
To be able to commit and maintain it is really, really powerful to help you focus on what's most important.
This first year of Cannonball has been amazing. It's honestly exceeded what I ever imagined. But isn't that what God does? Ephesians 3:20 says this, "Now all glory to God, who is able, through His mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think." And this is what I believe God is going to do in all of us this next year. Infinitely more than we might ask or think. It's God's power at work within us.
And so it is my prayer for us as a church family that God would use these 5 weeks of Ripple Effect to fill us with His Spirit, to deepen our trust and faith in Him, and then prioritize His kingdom above our own. I pray that as we collectively jump all into Jesus' mission again, that these Kingdom of God waves would ripple out and bring Jesus' transformation to our communities, our cities, and our world.
Yeah, so grab your note sheet. When you think of a halftime, of course, it's a sport analogy. Hopefully you got a little chocolate when you came in. It comes from the world of sports. You have a halftime, basketball, football. The first half is over. You come into the halftime, and the coach discusses, the players talk about what went right during the first half, what kind of things went good, what adjustments we need to make. And then you go out after halftime, and you hope to win the game, which in sports is really easy to know. How do you win the game? You score more points than the other guys. But in church, it's not so clear. What does a win look like in a walk with Jesus for a church group? What does a win look like? That's the big idea this weekend. If you have your note sheet right at the very top, the big idea, everyone can move from me to we. That's the big win. 100% participation, everybody all in. Jesus has got every part of my heart, and that is not that easy. To move from me to we, it doesn't take any effort for me to think about me. I am so clear on the different things that I want. I know all about what I feel like I need and my wants and my dreams. It takes no effort for me to think about me. In fact, the gravitational pull in my life just seems to bring me back to myself. It's not easy to get off of me. And that's why Jesus gave us the church. The church is the group of people that we hang out with and walk with and follow and be together with as we follow Jesus that helps us move away from me to we. God uses the gravitational pull of His love to change me. Good news. It's good news that I'm forgiven. It's good news that God grants me mercy. It's good news that He helps me repair relationships. It's good news that God accepts me just how I am. It's good news that He helps me change and not keep making the same mistakes over and over and over and over again. And it's good news that I have hope, regardless of my circumstances. And that happens in the church. The spreaders of good news. In fact, there's a spot in the Bible, and I'll read it to you. It talks about what the church is supposed to look like. As you consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. So if you were taking old school notes, circle, spur one another, encourage one another. 59 times in the Bible, you see this phrase, one another. It shows up. Encourage one another. Forgive one another. What does it feel like to be a part of a church? Accept one another. Provide for one another. Support one another. Give mercy to one another. The church is the place where I transition, because the environment there is a place where I can be accepted. I can come out from behind all the different things in my life that I don't want anybody to see. Hey, let's face it. We've all done things we regret. We've all done things that we wish we hadn't. We've all had things done to us that make us angry and want revenge. We all struggle with bitterness and resentment, and everybody here has a past. And if they could go back, they would change things. And the church is the place where that's okay. The church is a place where you're with a group of people that all say the same thing. I have a hope because there's good news. In fact, we're almost like called to be dispensers of hope. Or we deal in hope in the church. So just to break it up a little bit, turn to the person next to you and say, you're a hope dealer. Just tell them, you're a hope dealer, not a dope dealer. Some of us remember that. Hope dealer. We deal in hope at church. The hope of the good news. It transcends who we are. The place where everybody can be. We have phrases at East Lake that we've always sort of tried to use as slogans. This is a church for everyone. Come as you are. No perfect people allowed. No making out in the back row. This is a movie theater. And by the way, church is not a building. Church is people. I'm so glad, because we meet in a movie theater. Who would ever think it could possibly be a church? But church was never designed to be a building. Church is a group of people. And it's a group of people where you can find hope because there's good news, because God loves us and wants to help us and be with us. See? We have a phrase that we use, circles is better than rows. Now, this is rows right here, and they're good. Rows is when we come into a church service, and everybody sits in a row, and we get to watch funny videos, and those are cool, and there's music. We get to sing with the band, and you know, someone gets up and gives a talk that hopefully is helpful and practical, and we get to sit in a row. And when you come into church, you get to be in the row, and it's almost like your tank gets filled, and you leave, and you're like, wow, you know, I think I can do something with God this week. And you leave. But rows is not where you build relationships. Rows isn't where you have a sense of belonging. Those happen in circles. And circles represent relationships. It's where you're with people, where your walls come down, where they see into you and you see into them. That's why we're doing the couples thing this weekend. It starts up, and maybe you've heard me the last 3 or 4 weeks talking about it, and you've been able to push it off. Oh, I'm never going to that. I'm not going to do that. But the reason we do that stuff is so you can get with a group of people. Yeah, boyfriend, girlfriend, you're married. It's a place to go where you can talk about marriage. What is it in being in relationship? The love languages is our topic. How do you make sure the person you're with knows that you love them? And how do you make sure they know how to love you? That's a circle. That's a relationship. It's moving from me to we. We always say this is a place where you can belong before you believe, but write in your notes this statement: following Jesus means moving from believing to belonging. At some point, you have to come out of the rows, and you have to choose to be with people. If you're ever going to get off yourself, if the gravitational pull, if you're ever going to be able to get away with it, everything is about me, you got to come out of the rows. And you have to get with people. It's about relationship. Cannonball, when we started this initiative, it was never about money or buildings or really even about what we were going to do with the money. It was always about saying that if I can get him to be my priority, if I can really catch that he loves me and accepts me, he forgives me of anything, if he's my guiding light, he'll give me the strength to be with people. He'll give me the chance to move to we. And probably the greatest reason for it is that if you think about God from ancient of times, he's been described as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's mind-boggling to think of him like that because, you know, it's God is the essence of relationship. The three is one. Trinity is what it's called in Christianity. Jesus has a role in that. I don't know if you've ever heard this before, but he actually prays for you. He knows your name. Prays for you. It was all about your life and says prayers for you. Now, I'm going to read you a prayer that's in the Bible that Jesus prayed. I pray not only for these followers. So Jesus is talking about all the people that were with him then 2,000 years ago. I pray not only for these followers, but also for those who will believe in me because of their teaching. And that's us. And here's the prayer that he's praying. Father, I pray that all who believe in me can be one. You are in me and I am in you. I pray they can also be one in us. Then the world will believe that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Is that crazy? That there would be a group of people. So here's the idea. Because there's good news and because we have hope, that other people would actually see the way that we live. Now catch this. Church was never meant to treat the world like they might contaminate us. The idea was never that we would pull back and get behind rules and regulations and dress a certain way and have all kinds of stipulations and meet in our cool little buildings and get in our cars and drive home and don't touch anybody that isn't like us because we might get cooties. It was never meant to be that way. Jesus was amongst them. He wasn't afraid to be with them. And here's why. Because he knew he had a relationship with God that was more powerful than anything he would encounter in the world. So he could be with people. So as you're with people and they catch what's going on in your life, they see that you can forgive, you can grant mercy. They see that you're not freaking out when, where's all the money at? When they get that there's a hope there that has nothing to do with good times. They did what I did years ago. They look and they go, maybe that could happen for me too. Maybe God does care about me. That's what the church is all about, to be out and amongst it. Now here's the bottom line, and write it in your notes. We is stronger than me. So if you're trying to walk with God, and that's awesome, and it's, of course, all of a process, but at some point, if you're going to make the transition, be part of we. And I know there's a million reasons not to, but let me give you one reason to. Here's one pencil. Haven't you always wanted to do that? Easily broken. Here's two pencils. Easily broken. Of course, look who's breaking it, pretty buff. Check this out. How easily. But y'all never gonna break this. That's we. Me. We. There's your reason. You're walking with Jesus, you want to be with him, at some point you got to make the transition to we. Because we is stronger than me. Now look at this last part of the Bible. May God help you live in complete harmony with each other as is fitting for the followers of Christ Jesus. Then all of you can join together in one voice, giving praise and glory to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.